very official with this lectern here. Wonderful. Can we have a round of applause for our wonderful organisers, please? There. Amazing. Fantastic. I'm just going to go straight into it. I'd be around town most days, conniving and skiving, yet still striving along, singing a song in my chemical-induced haze. I'd be around town most days, in the sun, having fun with the best of Bally, our Finglas and the Mun, cast out and passed out in this town that doesn't take in strays. I'd be around town most days, sipping from flagons of broken dreams, what could have been, and memories of before things seemed to come apart at the seams. I'd be around town most days, sitting broken and smoking alone with nothing but the scars of pain, with only a Ganzi on, decked out in the pissings of rain. They find people like me dead on the ground most days, cause to you it might seem strange, a stranger asks for nothing but a bit of change in this country of broken systems and closed doors and people sleeping out on empty floors. I'd be around town most days, in a place where we choose bankers over human beings, a load of wankers who deem us less than the bottom line. Don't be worrying, they're over 18, they'll be fine. I'd be round town most days, where the hostel is so hostile that it's safer to sleep out on the streets as long as we keep away from where the politicians meet. People don't want me around most days, but we're young and old, we're all the same. But it's what we're told is the real thing to blame. It's a choice they chose this life to live with strife, to survive by needle or knife. I'd be round town most days, where you have children of the system systematically spat out sporadically to the world as soon as they come of age, isolated with nothing but their rage towards a world that has let them down. I think that they should be hidden underground in this invisible town, but the have-nots have got nowhere to go, and instead their struggles are out there on show. I did be feeling quite down most days. People forget that this won't go away, and these invisible children are still here to stay until the cycle is fixed. It won't cure itself, and shall continue to exist. So don't sit there and tell me that things are going grand, because homeless are people too. I just need a hand. I hope we turn things around someday. Thank you. I don't know which is better, all you lovely people, or the fact that Beamish costs 5.20 here. It's fucking 6.50 and out in Dublin.
Rip off. Rip off.
Yeah, in the middle. Since I have this lovely lectern here, I might as well use it. I'm going to do a bit of page poetry now. This poem is called Love Is. Yeah, that's it. I'm going to do it now. Enjoy it. Love is blind. Love is cruel, love is harsh, love is kind. Love is a hug from your ma and sharing a shite joke with your dad. Love is a Sunday roast at your nanny's house. Love is a few pints in the local, spontaneous laughs, having the crack and not being afraid to get a bit vocal. Love is a pint of water and a saucepan beside your bed just in case. Love is hungover chicken fillet rolls and a bottle of Lucozade Sport. Love is those with you for the memories, growing up and learning from each other's mistakes. Love is heartbreak. Love is a shoulder to cry on. You'll be alright, dust yourself off, tomorrow's another day. Love is sitting out in a field of friends on a hot summer's day. Love is a festival of colours, a symphony of music. Love is like no other. Love is that favourite pet if you could possibly choose. Love is that one song that takes away your cares and your blues. Love is Dancing the Maniac 2000. Love is the sound of birds singing. Love is a first date and wedding bells ringing. Love is that first and last kiss. Love is that one mate who constantly takes the piss. Love is eating 99s at the beach. It's the sand in your hand and between the toes of your feet. Love is summer holidays. Love is when you feel you couldn't live without them for more than a few days. For love is a freshly brewed cup of tea. For love is a mood between you and me. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I was saying to a few people around, it's like last time I was here was for the All-Ireland, and it was very stressful. Very stressful, as you can imagine. It's like performing in a pressure cooker. And Shauna, you know what the sauce is. It's wild. And like, when you do gigs like this, it's great because you go and you see all these talented people and everyone's real creative and you're like, oh my God, everyone's so amazing and talented. When you're at a slam, it's like, oh my God, everyone's so amazing and talented, but they better not be better than me. They're not be fucking better than me. So so it's nice to be here and actually be able to, you know, enjoy myself. I enjoyed everything afterwards. It was just beforehand with the pressure and stuff like that. So yeah, and this is great. So thank you for having me. This is amazing to be here. So I'll do another poem for you. This poem is about love as well. It's about Ireland and about how Ireland is changing for the better. And because it's about Ireland, of course, I had to set it in a pub. So yeah, this is called A Brief Encounter. I had an argument with an older gentleman recently. A discourse of two opposing opinions. I tried my best to be amicably civil. But there was one thing that seemed to deem this conversation fruitless. The fact he was a traditional old devil. Not that he was sentimental in the old days, more in a mental sense of homophobic ways that he had a fear to gaze, and others that he seemed to deem different. This feared of queer, or anything else near, that challenges the balance of power that is held quite dear to the likes of him. For you see, this man is the epitome of the heteronormative. I told him nothing is concrete, even gender is performative, but he disagreed. And about this time, the barmaid turned around to face our hypothetical battleground. She said, "The mind his sort, love, they're all ignorant pricks. Should they be going around calling people bundles of sticks?" Well, he didn't like that. Instead, he declared to anyone who cared that he was part of a bygone era. Good. Because about time we repaired the damage that ensnared for too long the Emerald Isles of Era. No longer is it legal to be different, to be condemned by the church or the ghost of Eamon de Valera. And there's been signs of progress. A blossoming message the youths of society shall send them, shall look at the landslide victory, the marriage referendum. Feeling fairly optimistic. And it's about time this gentleman got a grip on reality, saw his vision of equality was a bit more realistic. And there's differences between us, me and him, him and me, but if you looked at us both, similarities you might see. White, working class, male, straight. While his sort bars the door, our sort helps to open that gate. Because we're all part of a new Ireland. One with a bit more fluidity, a country with a little less fucking negativity towards those brave enough to challenge the norm. Because yous are all beautiful. And shouldn't have to conform. You. Thank you very much. I'm going to try to utilise this lectern as much as I possibly can. I wish I had a little pair of glasses to put on. Thank you. That's better. Thank you. Ooh. Hang on. I'll hold it like this. Okay. Actually, this poem's quite serious, if I put this in here. There you are. Thank you for your lovely glasses. Anyway, so this poem, Ireland is changing, and Ireland is also staying the same. So there's some things that a lot of people face, as I told you before. Pints are lovely down here. They're very expensive in Dublin. Everything in Dublin is expensive. And a lot of people go emigrate because they can't find a better place. They can't find a place to stay, and then they, you know, they're working to pay their rent, and they're living just to pay their rent. And a lot of people emigrate. So I wrote this poem called The Road, and it's about immigration in Ireland and how it's still going on. And I'll start now. There's been plenty of times throughout my life where I've packed a bag and ran away. Not a sneaking out the house, mind you, more a I'll see you soon, I'd say. For the road is long and always calls. And for me, I just couldn't resist. Often I'd hear the siren song, those delicate words that always persist. And I often heard it late at night, when all the world's asleep. Softly through an open window I'd hear that calling creep. For many a times I've traversed the road, until my feet were sore. And I'd just be home 5 minutes or so, and the road would call to me once more. Well, eventually I began to settle, and packed my bags away. But the road persists her whisperings, and often she would say, come along for one more ride, and see the corners not yet travelled. But I'd just begun to create this life, and would not care for it to simply be unravelled. And though I firmly stood my ground, and stayed more than a year, I watched my friends all go before me, down that road that draws us far and near. For they too hear its constant call, and out the door they go. But for how long and far they disappear for, only the road shall ever know. For this island that we live on has a tradition of, I'll see you soon, I'd say. And with prices going through the roof, more are disappearing by the day. And I worry how my friends are doing, since they've travelled out that door, to a land of more prosperity, while the road sings evermore. As I sit and wait for their return, while the road sings evermore. Thank you.
I'd like to thank my sponsor, Beamish, thank you.
Nowhere to put it, I don't want to spill it on that advice.
I'll
put it there, is that okay?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. It's okay. I'll do a little, these are all heavy poems, I'm going to do a little light poem, I suppose, be nice. Here's my little poem, it's about little. It's about these characters that you see in your daily life, and you wonder, what are they fucking doing with that? Like, what do they do every day? So, I was that little, of course, naturally, and I wrote this poem about it. This is my little poem. There's a fellow I see very often. Over at the Lidl is where he stands, dog leash in hand, just standing. Soft smile on his lips, watching the daily's consumers make copious trips in and out, in and out, in and out. Across those freshly washed floors and out through the double doors, I often wonder what he's thinking. Standing there day after day after day, from June to May, just watching people potter about. He doesn't beg. Just the odd hello, and same smile all the while, his faithful companion sits down there by his leg, just waiting. And I find myself debating what could possibly draw him to that very spot. Curiosity. Boredom. Or other people's generosity, like my Mrs. Granny used to buy him the odd pack of cans, but random packs of Guinness couldn't be the sole reason as to why he stands there just chilling. Contentedly people watching and time killing. And I often imagine he's been there from the very start now. Not the building a little, but way back to the Big Bang when God let out that giant fire to stardust.
Creation.
When cosmic storms cause worlds to form and he's just there. Alright. And at the end of it all, when our universe receives its final curtain call, the four horsemen pull up. The word apocalypse upon their lips, and he's just still there, Labrador now lying on the floor. I imagine they'd share a look between themselves. I wonder, what's he been doing there all this time? And they'll ask. To which he'll softly reply, without so much as even batting an eye. Just waiting. For who? God? Godo? You could have fucking forgot them. Who knows? Well, if you're ever down with a little, you could probably just fucking ask. Thank you. Thank you very much. That was me little poem. I am not sponsored by Little, would you believe? I'm actually more of an Aldi man, but you look. Maybe while I try to find a poem to get here now. I wrote this poem. Actually, here's a poem that I didn't write. Here's a poem that I love saying. And it's the story behind it is just fantastic. So I heard this poem being sung by a musician called Jack O'Rourke. He was asked to put this to music. It is a poem written by Brendan Behan about Oscar Wilde. It was written in Irish, and thankfully for me, they translated into English. Unfortunately, I couldn't read it in Irish. It was translated by Ulick O'Connor. It's about the last days of Oscar Wilde, written by Brendan Behan. So, look, we're being real cultural, getting all cultured. We might as well listen to a few poems from people that actually know what they're doing, better than me. So, that body once lively, dumb in the darkness, quiet but for candles blazing beside him. His elegant form and firm gaze exhausted. Exiled now from the cafes to sanctity's desert, the young prince of sin, broken and withered. Lust left behind him, gem without luster. No whiskey for a stiffener, but cold, holy water. The young king of beauty, Narcissus broken, but the pure star of Mary as a gleam on the ocean. Sweet is the way of the sinner. Sad death without God's praise. My life on you, Oscar boy. Yourself had it both. Just as a disclaimer, them claps are for Brendan Behan, they're not for me, all right? Just in case he comes and haunts me or anything like that. Thanks for clapping for Brendan Behan, all right? So, sound. I'll do a little other spoken word piece, I suppose. I'm trying to find these pages. Yeah, so. I've been asked to do a competition there a while ago after this, and it's called Slamavision. It's like the poetry version of Eurovision. I know. You have to do a video and then they record it and then they send it off to, I think there's 12 countries, and they vote on it like the Eurovision. Marty Whelan's not there, unfortunately. So I asked, don't worry, I made sure. But they asked me to use a poem, and they wanted one that kind of described, so that was personal to me. They kind of used a bit of Irish lingo. And this is the one I used. So it was about growing up in school and being a bit different and trying to fit in. And not. So I hope you can relate. Hopefully not. But look, this is a poem about that. So let's start 1 second. Right. Let's talk about masculinity. About this male inability to recognize and identify. The underlying fragility when understanding what it is to be a man. From the get-go, you're swept up in this narrative, this grand scheme, this plan. An amalgamation of information derived from the etiquette of life. Don't be fucking crying. Don't be getting the notions to show emotions, except maybe anger. You know when you're pissed and fisted, be flying, cause real men know words are for boards, and boards do be lying. Don't laugh, it's serious. And we're taught these rules in the very beginning. Especially in schools where the kids do be grinning to each other. Anyone that doesn't seem to fit in, you know the types. The geeks, freaks and weirdos. Yeah, they're a bit different, but they're much easier to jeer. Though takes the heat off me, basically. And those that don't fit the guidelines are placed on the sidelines. Outcast, outpast, the corner, post of normality. And this is done with the utmost formality. Sorry. Can't play in our game. You don't even follow football. And a few years pass and it's still the same game, and this rejection sticks to your berries into your brain for the rest of your teenage life. Cuts to your confidence like a hot fucking knife, all because you didn't play along. Didn't pretend like the others to be all macho and strong, no. You liked art. Music and skating, therefore you're picked on and given a few baitings because you deserve it. You little tick, you little sap, you smelly little hippie, and they hit you another. Because you're different. Because you're unique. Because you're challenging the norms and they perceive this as weak. But they're wrong. You are strong. And school doesn't last forever and life after is very long compared to that shite. When every day feels like a struggle and there's trouble or to fight for, you see. Some lads become dads and these boys become men and they'll have kids of their own and God forbid it happens to them. Hopefully their boys grow up to be a part of the team. That's the dream. Fitting in is real easy, or so it would seem, when you keep the head down. Play by the rule book of bullshit. With any luck, they'll avoid getting stuck in that cesspool of negativity, the hegemonic, demonic brotherhood of toxic masculinity. Because there's more to life than playing by hypothetical rules, and those who enforce these laws are just a bunch of shitebags and fools who are afraid to be themselves. Like a flock of sheep, they must keep in step with their hair, but if their manhood's ever questioned, you can see that they're scared because they're not you. You can be kind and be gentle and be true. What more can you do? Be you. Thank you very much. Or two. Okay. I've got a short poem here that I'd like to read. And then I'll do a little one more spoken word piece. And then we shall get on to our next poem. So I won't keep this. This one is for all the mammies out there. I love poetry in a sense that it can capture a snapshot in time. I like to just kind of, you know, write about ordinary things that happen throughout the day, like, such as a lot of poets in this room, I imagine. That's what's, you know, but it's trying to capture the ordinary and turn it into something. So this was, I was sitting in my sitting room eating breakfast and I was watching out the window and I just happened to see a scene play out across the road and I just watched and I'm going to try to write something about it. So this is for all the mammies in the room. And if you know, you'll know. So brightly coloured lunchboxes scattered across the countertops, ham and cheese, no crusts. Uniforms neatly laid out, carrying the scent of washing powder, a kiss on the forehead and enjoy our day now, be good. Steadily they march down the drive, furiously engaged in conversation. She watches from the porch. And even after they've turned the corner, she lingers in the doorway just to make sure. So, this last poem that I'm going to finish on is about the Leaving Cert. Everybody sharing that PTSD of the Leaving Cert. Everyone goes, oh, fuck no, I hate the Leaving. Nobody enjoyed the Leaving Cert, either did I. So, I wanted to write a poem, so I started doing a bit of teaching poetry in secondary schools, and being around teenagers, you start to kind of relive that PTSD of the Leaving Cert. So I wanted to kind of write a poem about it. When you're doing the Leaving Cert, not only is there external pressure of doing it, but there's also the pressure you put on yourself. And I wanted to write something kind of maybe for anyone that's doing the Leaving Cert to realise that it's all a load of shite. It's all a load of shite. You don't need it. You know, you just go back as a mature student, do what I did, it's grand, not a bother. It works out well. So I wanted to write a poem about that. One second. One last sip. A little poem for those in waiting. On a few results that could determine their path through the river of life they're busy wading through. As a nation, I find it a bit silly to be placing all this pressure on 16 to 18 year olds all for a single examination all over a little silly certification busher. Aren't we all told the same thing? It's the biggest test of your life. So don't mess it up. Now, it's been a few years since I sat mine, but sure, I can still remember the time when, even though it feels like a century ago, sure, it was only back in 2010. And something of that magnitude is placed on the shoulders of basically kids, young adults waiting on results. Things are a bit different for my generation. For one thing, we were still gicked financially as a nation. I remember my guidance counsellor sitting us down. No empathy or sympathy, just wearing a small frown and a single simple statement.
Things are a bit doused in turmoil right now. And I don't know how to tell you, but this is probably the only chance to make it through all this economic strife.
And that's a bit heavy to hear for someone so young in life, I'd practically just fallen out of the womb at that stage. And after months of hearing it from all sides, don't be worrying, but you better be studying. It's only the biggest moment of your life, so don't waste it. Face it head on, be mature. Doesn't matter if you're unsure, it all boils down to this. And if you miss it, you spend the rest of your life as a fuck up without a clue. Only highlight your week talking to L1s in the dole queue. Pressure's rising, I'm not sinking. I'm diving to the depths of despair. I haven't studied enough, I messed it up, and now something never get the chance to repair. 13 years on, I can still remember crying to my ma if I hear
Leganish, a quarter muck, a quidge. One more time, I'm going to fucking scream. Listen.
I got 240 points in the Leaving Cert. I remember the disappointment. I remember feeling like a failure, like I messed everything up. And that dole queue was waiting. Calling in my name. I didn't answer its call. Instead, I worked my howl off to build something small, my confidence in myself. Spent a few years travelling and seeing life beyond the shelf they tried to place us on. And I went to college when I was 27. Not once did they ask what points I got. Felt like I'd died and gone to heaven. No labels, no bullshit or fables, my point in all this is that you are worth more than some silly little score out of 600. And I'm just using my life as an example, a sample that you might not take the direct route. A few twists and turns here and there, but it's the truth. And I hope you get all the points that you want. But if you don't, it's not the be all and end all. Because you are worth more than some silly little score. That's all I'll say. Because you are worth more than some silly little score. Thank you very much, Edmund Leandro.